You are listening to South by Southwest Sessions.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jolene Kent. I'm the NBC News business and tech correspondent, and I am so happy to be back at South by Southwest. I don't know which number conference it is for me, but I think it might be actually number 6. And I'm extra thrilled today to be focusing on a topic that so many of us care so much about. And we're talking about rebuilding our economy in the aftermath or in the midst of this pandemic. And the real central issue here, of course, is entrepreneurialism. And entrepreneurism, of course, it's the path to success. It's, of course, also not created equal. And that's what we want to dive into today and take a look at some of the systemic barriers that are in place and how companies and individuals and leaders are trying to break those down. Now, I do want to note before we get started that we are recording this session in February, the very last few days of this month. It is Black History Month, of course, and we're taking a very close look, a hard look at what needs to change in order to properly level the playing field for entrepreneurial success. And of course, I'd like to introduce our panelists. I'm so glad we get to be together on screen, if not in person. John Hope Bryant, you're the CEO and founder of Operation Hope, as well as Harley Finkelstein, president of Shopify. We're all here today to discuss how the private, voluntary, and public sectors could come together and really remove the barriers I just mentioned to bringing more business success to disenfranchised groups and beyond. So guys, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you for having us.
So John, I want to start with you because as I've covered this pandemic and the unemployment and economic side of it, I remember back in April 2020, 40% of Black business owners reported they were unable to work. You compare that to white business owners and that number dropped significantly, less than half, to 17% of white business owners saying the same thing. What is the reality of what Black business owners face today as they try to make a comeback in this very fractured economy?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And you add to that, that out of all businesses in America, Black businesses are about 8%, a little under 10%, and 96% of those businesses don't have an employee. They're sole proprietorships. They don't have infrastructure, systems. They don't have a banking relationship. They couldn't get in line for PPP at the front of the line and so on and so forth. And in many ways, these businesses were in a crisis before the crisis hit. They are already living with too much month at the end of their money before the crisis hit. And all this goes back to, you know, Abraham Lincoln of 1865 and the Freedmen's Bank he created to teach freed slaves about money. And then Lincoln was killed the next month. So you have a whole generation of generations of people who are really smart, really, really smart. But it's what we don't know that we don't know that's killing us, but we think we know. So we were never taught about free enterprise, capitalism, economic ownership, and opportunity at scale. Later on, we can talk about whether we have succeeded, the arts and professional sports, and why. But in general business lane, we've always been fragile. And for reasons we can talk about later, we didn't have the capital base. Or the reserves. And so in some ways we're coming out of this as a sort of a wounded eagle, but we are also survivors and we've been doing so much with so little for so long, we can almost do anything with nothing. And this is what gives me hope. The same reason that gives me despair is the opposite of that is what gives me hope. Most of us are not online. Most of us, to the extent we have a business, is a brick and mortar business. We're not on e-commerce. That's a problem, but it's also an opportunity because we are incredible salespeople. We are incredible. We have incredible hustle. We don't give up. We don't give in. That is the very nature of an entrepreneur and a small business owner. So I think with proper support, you're going to see this group surge because they also know that this is their time, that in some ways, we're in a bit of a third reconstruction right now. You've had this 400 euro social justice reckoning on Black America that happened in the midst of COVID. And there's no time like the present. And I think rightly so during Black History Month to underscore and illustrate the potential contribution of Blacks to commerce in America, social justice through an economic lens. So hurt, harmed, but hopeful.
hurt, harmed, but hopeful. And I wonder, as you think about beyond PPP and beyond the government assistance and perhaps more government assistance coming down the pike for all, hopefully all businesses and all individuals who've lost their jobs, what about, John, the private sector? What is their responsibility, especially these large multinational conglomerates in the name of Amazon and other companies? What is their responsibility in supporting and actually enabling Black entrepreneurship?
Well, I mean, given that we basically built the country for free and probably the largest reverse transfer of wealth in American history were slaves working for free for 300 years. I think that it's not so much a debt or responsibility, but I think it is a moral obligation to allow us a level playing field to get back in the game. But the other side of this coin is, I really think there's, forget all that now, put that aside for a moment, there's just enormous opportunity for corporations. The most prosperous, profitable companies in the world are the most diverse. New York and LA, the most diverse and the most profitable. Atlanta, the only international city in the South, the most diverse and the most profitable, one of the 10 top cities in metro areas in the country. So diversity is also good business sense. It's morals and money, not morals or money. Let me also contextualize this. In the 60s, it wasn't the government that integrated the South. It was the private sector. Because the majority of the customers back then in those small towns were Black. And they said, basically, I don't care whether you're white, Black, red, brown, or yellow, we want to see some more green back. And so it was the private sector who asked to take down the white only signs from Woolworths and JCPenney and the soda shop and the bus company, which was then privately owned, and asked the mayor at that time to knock it off let's get back to business. So it's a little known fact, but it was the private sector that was the role model in the 1960s. Likewise, $3 billion committed for social justice reforms by the private sector, not the government, in late 2020, which includes, by the way, what we're talking about here today. There's lost GDP in not doing this. The Citigroup report showed that discrimination against Blacks in the last 20 years alone resulted in $16 trillion, with a T, have lost GDP to American prosperity, $16 trillion. If we just knock it off right now, you'll pick up $1 trillion a year. That's not including e-commerce. That's not including the business growth. There's probably 2 or 3% in additional GDP that we can pick up just by doing the right thing, by including everybody in the American up from nothing story.
And that is, I believe, just based on what I've read and what I've seen, that's one of the driving forces behind creating 1 million Black-owned businesses by 2030. And that's where you're collaborating with Harley over at Shopify. And I want to know, Harley, how is this initiative going? You've announced it's been going for a few months now, I believe, right? Where are you in terms of both the metrics and navigating this super challenging pandemic bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, let's level set for a second. We think, and I think all of us would agree, that entrepreneurship, the ability to start a business, it is one of the great equalizers. It also, on the other side of the pandemic, the backbone of our economies is small business. And so we've now spent 15 years at Shopify trying to level the playing field so that anyone who wants to or needs to start a business can easily do so. The problem is that many people don't know that that is accessible. We met John Hope Ryan about a year ago and began talking about the fact that we have this piece of software that makes entrepreneurship accessible. It is inexpensive. It is affordable. It is easy to do. It's not, you know, it's not going to be a matter of fact that everyone will be successful, but the tools that we've been building for over a decade now at Shopify, they are democratizing. They make it accessible in a way that has never been done before. The problem is that there's an entire group of people who don't know that this is possible, this is accessible to them. And so by marrying Operation Hope and their access with Shopify's technology, we think we can create 1 million Black-owned businesses in the next decade or so. And it's not necessarily just about software technology. It's also this idea that what if we can help with financial literacy? What if we can provide coaching and mentorship? What if we can provide, you know, classes? And so this idea of joining forces with Operation Hope and Shopify together, we think we can have an outsized impact. And so far, we've already seen businesses, frankly, come out of nowhere using the program to succeed. Some of them were brick and mortar businesses that during the pandemic had to shut their doors and they had to very quickly digitalize, and they used our program to do so. Others are people that frankly just needed to commercialize their hobby, or they lost their job and had to supplement their income. And so what John and I have been talking about for a year now, and finally now we're talking about it publicly, is what would happen if we can marry community and technology? Can we have an outsized impact? And we think we can.
You see all of the different companies that are being started or now starting to use your software in this initiative. What's one story that really stands out to you as a success story, at least so far?
Yeah. So we have about 1.7 million merchants on Shopify. And so our purview of entrepreneurship and small businesses is pretty amazing. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur gets their first sale on Shopify. And so, so far, the early signs are showing that almost half the participants are based in the southern U.S. Obviously, John's based in Atlanta. But we're seeing examples like Bouge Flea Market, which is the brainchild of a mother and daughter duo named Adrienne and Anastasia. They're based in New York City. It's a kids' beauty and lifestyle brand. It's going to be launching at the end of next month. And Adrienne is an entrepreneur who has been using Operation Hope's resources for years, well before Shopify got involved, and recently joined the 1MBB program with her seven-year-old daughter to launch this latest venture. And it's focused on providing Black-owned, organic, vegan, nut-free beauty products. And all the products are sourced from other SMBs, other entrepreneurs in the United States and all over. And so this idea of a mother who needed to provide an income, had to put food on the table, put a roof over the head of their family, engaging with Operation Hope, going through the program, using Shopify's technology to build a business, that is really important. And you know, when you speak to Adrienne about this, she sees this business as a way to help basically create generational wealth. And this idea that if she teaches her daughter at a young age about financial literacy, about starting a business, about taxes and sales and marketing and profit margin, instead of relying on scholarships and student loans, she can be independent. And so that's one of the stories, but we're seeing them happen every day on through this program.
And John, I wonder. Sorry, go ahead.
And the guy who made the suit that I'm wearing. So the guy that we made the suit is a guy named Ryan Taylor. And he made his company called Drove Clothing. And we put him in business, gave him his first loan of $35,000, gave him business training and entrepreneurship training. And this is really to Harley's point about democratizing really opportunity and free enterprise for all and social justice through an economic lens. This guy could not go get a job as a designer in New York in one of the fashion houses. We told him to create his own fashion house. So he went from $35,000 loan, some training from us, got his credit score up, and was doing $1 million a year in revenue in a shop in LA. Then COVID hit. And I buy all my clothes from him, but we couldn't see each other anymore. We couldn't do business, and the business just began to die. He just told me that the Shopify platform will allow him to reimagine his whole business model and now take basically to go from in-person to online and basically go from an LA-based business to a nationally-based business overnight. And we think that this is gonna happen, you know, hundreds of times over in every city in America. It's just the light comes on. This is just a massive movement of common sense. I didn't mean to interrupt your story, but I wanted to, it just so happened, I recall, I'm literally wearing a small business owner's suit. Look how beautifully that is. Black owned business.
Sure, yeah.
It's now able to operate at scale.
John, when you think about businesses like that, that have been able to take advantage of the program and go straight to online or go from brick and mortar to online, and you also think about the other programs out there, like the 15% pledge and getting 15% of that shelf space for Black-owned businesses. how does it all fit together? Because as a reporter, as I see these initiatives coming to light, and some of them have been in place for a while, whereas others have really been motivated by seeking social justice through economic equality and opportunity, I wonder, how much of it do you think is lip service? How much of it is effective now? And how much will it will take a while to bear the fruit of success of a business being built and turning a profit?
This is a brilliant question, and no one's ever asked it of me before, and it is everything. First of all, Harley and I are committed to do this for a decade. This is not going to happen overnight. We're in a startup period right now. 10 years. So they're getting the technology. They're going to help us master the technology side. We're going to help them master the community engagement side. And together, we're going to master the marketing and awareness side. But never before have you been in this era, in this moment, where what I call the third reconstruction, 2020 to 2030. We've had the first reconstruction, second, this is the third. And I believe this is about economics. I think there should be a focus on financial literacy for all, which includes investor education, what happened on Wall Street a couple weeks ago. Building wealth, which is this, building, in this case, black wealth. So you have generational wealth, which addresses the issue I mentioned to you earlier on the show. And corporate inclusion for all. What you just mentioned and what most people are doing is corporate inclusion because it's frankly easier to do. They have a balance sheet, they have a budget, they got people they need to hire. And to the extent they reach out to the HBCUs and reach out to the public schools and create a ladder, those things will work. If all they do is reach out to their natural constituencies, it's going to be a harder achievement. The reason that this is different is I think you really do have a moment here where everybody watched George Floyd being murdered, really lynched. It was a public lynching on TV because COVID had us all set in front of our TV sets. Even young people who didn't watch the news, we're all watching the news at the same time. And I think it took everybody's breath away. And nobody wants to live in a country where everybody doesn't have a chance. No one wants to live in a country where everybody doesn't have a chance. And this is really about, again, to use Harley's phrase, democratizing opportunity at scale. So here's why this is different. You come in, because a lot of this is, frankly, it goes over people's heads and it intimidates people and they don't get involved, they don't engage it from communities where I live in, where if you hang around 9 broke people, as I said earlier, you'll be the 10th. So you come in into one MBB, first thing you get is orientation. You get to build a business plan, digital and online or in person, whatever makes you comfortable. Mm-hmm. You go to small business training, entrepreneurship training, those are two different lanes. You end up with a 700 credit score communities training, getting your credit score up, which raises your self-esteem and your confidence. Then you get a Shopify license investment for free, a domain name search investment for free. Every time this happens, by the way, self-esteem goes up, confidence goes up. Then you get a website dedicated to you, an e-storefront built, investment for free. Payment systems through Shopify, investment for free. Well, it's not for free. There's an investment that we expect a payoff from, but on the front end doesn't cost the applicant a thing. Then you get your delivery system, your fulfillment system support, delivery system support. You make your first sale, you get a credit line. It's unbelievable, from Shopify against your sale, not against your credit, not against your asset base, not against your home. We talked about how that's deficient because of the history, but against your ability to sell an idea, to sell yourself. And then you have these business professionals who can volunteer their time, including people watching this program, 2 hours from an accountant, 2 hours from a banker, 2 hours from an insurance rep, 2 hours from an IT person, 2 hours from a management consultant, to help become a special forces team, to give this business the girth so that you're in business, not busyness. That's game changing. That's worth about $25,000, that package. We're gonna do it for every business. And I believe that's repairing the ladder that's been slowly deteriorating since World War II, when most mainstream folks got the GI Bill to help them come back from the war and get into the game that created the white middle class in America, an education, a mortgage for a new home, and a for a new job. Today, we need to create jobs, not just go get them, which is why I believe this is going to work at scale and how I believe this is different from other times.
Joe, one thing that John said there that I want to just repeat, because it's really important, is this idea that when you get that first sale, your identity changes. You now become an entrepreneur. It's an amazing thing, and that helps with esteem. But also, you now create this entire, you know, John likes to tell me all the time that if you can convince a small percentage of a population, I think it's 10% of a population, to do something, they can influence the other 90% of a population. So there's a little bit of a flywheel effect to this. Well, 5%, excuse me. If you can convince 5% of a population to do something, the other 95% can be influenced. Now, that is an amazing thing, because what that means is you create this catalyst now for change. So again, someone gets their first sale through this program, they become an entrepreneur, their esteem changed, they're now able to provide for themselves, and now they can influence all these other people around them to try the same thing. This idea that that entrepreneurship is easier, that is true. The future is here. It's just not evenly distributed. And this program, the intention of this program is to better evenly distribute it. We can't do that alone at Shopify. We don't have access to all those people. But John and Operation Hope do. And so that's where this idea came together.
I want to know, though, you are a publicly traded company, and of course, the bottom line does matter. And when you partner with Operation Hope and John, obviously, there's a business proposition in mind here. There's no doubt about it. When I think about John saying that the value of that package that Operation Hope and Shopify are fostering, it's $25,000 per business. You are confident that you will be able to recoup that cost and more, I imagine, because you've made this $1 million pledge. How do you calculate that as the president of Shopify? How do you think about that?
Well, first of all, as my friend John likes to say, before you can do good, you have to do well. And so we are fortunate that Shopify is able to provide this. So just to be clear, we're offering, it's about $130 million of resources over 10 years. And so, you know, whether it's 4 months of free Shopify, it's a tailored education program, to be specific, that is 40 hours to help business owners launch. It's also access to a whole bunch of communities. There's a lot that goes into it. But frankly, the idea, like, if Shopify wants to be the entrepreneurship company, and ultimately that is our goal, can we be the global entrepreneurship company? Can we be the company that helps entrepreneurs in a way that no one other company has ever done it? We have to have access to all types of different people. And the fact that, you know, John said it earlier on when he began, that it is not evenly distributed, that even though there are 15% of the population are Black Americans, but less than 10% of them actually have a business. And of that 10%, John, what's the number? 95% of them are a sole proprietorship? 96% are sole proprietorship. There is an opportunity for us not only to help spread entrepreneurship and do good, but also, of course, to get more people using Shopify. And again, it's not necessarily just around, you know, getting more merchants on our platform. We have about 1.7 million now. It's also, can we introduce the idea of entrepreneurship to people who otherwise would never have seen it? And it's something that we feel really good about. But actually, to your point earlier about the private sector, I think everyone in the private sector that has an opportunity to do something like this, you absolutely should. The onus is on you to do that.
Joe, can I ask this is so important. I'll be very quick. Look, what he soft-shoed this. I'm going to hit it straight up. I was asked by somebody who heard this program, Black, this sounds too good to be true. Is there a catch? What's the catch? Yes, there's a catch. Shopify wants you as a future customer. You want that? You don't want handouts? We want the James Brown version of affirmative action. Open the door. I'll get it myself. We want a hand up, not a handout. But it's what we don't know that we don't know that's killing us, but we think we know. And we never had this opportunity before. So we want the fact, we want to know, okay, they think we can be a future customer. So they're going to invest in us on the front end. What does the accountant want? What does the banker want? What does the insurance person want? They're going to donate their time up front. But I've told them, in a few years, this may not work out this way, but you want that person to come back to you as a paying customer, because they now have five employees, 10 employees. They're making $300,000-$400,000 a year up from nothing. And now they need to hire an accountant, a banker. Who's going to hire? The person who invested in them is doing well and doing good at scale. That's why I think this is different, Joe. I think that the business community is finally realizing it's sustainable philanthropy. It's business and philanthropy together. It's morals and money.
One last thing I want to get to is within that morals and money discussion is women of color. And there are so many women of color who have experienced the clock winding backwards in this pandemic because of what has happened with job loss and with childcare and with a myriad of other things, including this, this obvious public health crisis. How are you both, and Harley, I'm gonna start with you and then go to John. How are you both making sure that in this initiative, you are going to bring up women of color specifically to make sure that the clock does not go backwards and it goes forwards instead for them?
Yeah, actually, I think the study that you're talking about, Joe, is the UN came out with a study that said that COVID-19 may have reversed decades of progress concerning gender equality in the workforce. So that's a real thing here. So yeah. I, at a highest level, we believe in a world with more voices in commerce is better for both business and consumers. And entrepreneurship is about economic opportunity and empowerment. So our goal is to help unlock these opportunities, especially for Black women. We also know already on Shopify, 53% of our merchants self-identify as women. So we think actually what we're doing, because this program, number one, is flexible, you can do it when you want, you can start when you want, you can do it nights and weekends if that's when it's more appropriate for you, but we're not dictating when, how to do it. We're giving enough flexibility. And so we actually think by providing more flexibility and making it accessible whenever, however you want to participate, that will be a massive, massive help. The second piece is role modeling. Every time we have a successful merchant, particularly a Black female entrepreneur, go through this program, John and I want to talk about it. We want to encourage others to hear that story, to case study it, to inspire others to do the same thing. And so again, we're still in the early days of it, but even the examples that I brought up today, these are Black female entrepreneurs that we're talking about.
John?
Yes, no, I love this question. I love you for asking it because it's everything. The only group that's had it worse than Black people are Black females. and 70% of Black households run by women. Here's the good news though. 70% of the businesses that have been created of late have been created by women. The vast majority of Black businesses are created by women. You're talking about women are the biggest owner of buyers of books. In this country amongst minorities, and in one of the highest categories of all people. We've been doing so much with so little for so long, particularly women. We can almost do anything with nothing. They're natural entrepreneurs is what I'm saying. They've been running a business and just didn't know it. So this is a way for them to have true independence, true voice. Maybe you don't get a job, but you can create a job for yourself. So I think that women are going to be the real heroines of this story. Heroes and sheroes, where we all rise.
Actually, now, Joe, just to give an action item to the people watching right now, you can actually go and download the Shop app. It has more than 100 million downloads of it. But we actually have a directory of Black-owned businesses, and there are more than 850 Black-owned online stores that you can find there. Many of those, a majority of those, are actually owned by female Black entrepreneurs.
Well, it sounds like your ambitious, your audacious goal, 1 million Black-owned businesses. You're on your way, but ever the journalist that I will be checking in with you in the next 6 months, next year and onwards, because this is a big goal, guys. And I really appreciate your time today sharing why you did this and your real reason for hope behind all of this. John Hope Bryant, CEO and founder of Operation Hope, Harley Finkelstein, as president of Shopify. Guys, good luck and thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.